Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Tyler. We got Jim. We got a full crew tonight, and we have no guest. So what is up, everyone?
I don't like this. I got to actually use my own brain.
Well, you know what, though? I feel like it's been a while since it was just the three of us. Like, when was the last time just the three of us did a show? Was it last year? We haven't done a show in a year, you guys.
All right, listen, it hasn't been a year. Stop with this foolish. We're in February already, and you're using that joke still. Stop it.
But I think it's right. I think that's true.
It is. Honestly, if you think about, like, this run of guests we've had on, like, every week, I think it started back with Justice.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And then it ran into Idol.
Yeah. Like, we had Justice. We had Alex. It'll happen.
It's probably been since November.
Kenny's fact-checking us, and he said true.
There we go.
It has been a while, for sure. And even, like, on the shows recently, not even, like, the three of us haven't been on it. It was Jim and I. It was Tyler and I. Always I. That's what's most important. Slackers.
He whines a lot, doesn't he?
He does. Well, I mean, it's because he doesn't have a life. So, like, yeah, that's true. He's always here.
I mean, I honestly really hate each of you more and more every single week. Like, truly just...
Yes and no.
Yes and no what?
Just using your famous catchphrase.
For real, though. Like, Jim, I... There's times I want to, like, legit murder Jim.
You mean, like, about 5 minutes ago?
Yes. What time are we coming on, guys? 9 o'clock, like every other time. This is a shit show, by the way. Anyone who's watching right now tonight is going to be very, very bad.
Worst NS9 episode in a while.
What's up, Connor?
Okay, in our defense, we haven't had to actually come up with topics or anything in a year.
Well, and, like, they've been, our last few episodes have been really good. So, like, we're kind of due for a downer. Kenny's not lying.
By the way, I mean, I guess here's something we can do. We can talk a little bit about ourselves. We could do that. No, we will talk a little bit of Pirates. As you see, the show's called, you know, the Pirates Offseason. We're going to talk. Because, again, we haven't, like, actually sat down and just, like, discussed it amongst ourselves all offseason, I feel like. So we'll do that. But since Kenny's in here, let's talk about that. I mean, for the people who are listening, you don't know, we have a newsletter. We have a second production of it sent out this Monday. Thanks to Kenny. Kenny is the one that's writing it, the Mr. Fact Checker on the show right now. So, yeah, as of right now, every Monday it's going out. But once spring training starts up, it's going to ramp up a little bit. And then once the season starts, it'll be out daily. So we're going to have a daily NS9 newsletter. And I just want to preface this. If you don't like it, Kenny's doing it, not us. But if you do like it, it's part of NS9.
It is very well done.
It really is. So like he's done two so far. The first one showed up in my inbox and I was like legit impressed. I was like, this is like a real newsletter. I was like, good job, Kenny. So yeah, if you haven't subscribed yet, I'm trying to find a link. Kenny, I'm sure you're there. Post a link in the chat as far as like how people can sign in, can sign up for that. But yeah, right now he's sending something out every week, just kind of recapping the week. And as the season goes on, yeah, daily newsletter, daily Pirates newsletter, right in your inbox. Doesn't get much better than that. And it's very well done.
How bad are your eyes, Tyler?
They're really bad.
You're squinting hard at that screen right now.
Yeah, I can't read.
What are you even trying to read?
I was just looking at some stuff. Jim was boring me by talking about a newsletter.
Yeah.
Every time Jim speaks, I get bored.
We got that. As most of you already know, we've added three more for the podcast, doing mostly the post-game shows. We're going to sprinkle them in here. We haven't even told them our future, our plans with them this offseason. That, by the way, so Connor, Neil, Doug, during spring training, you're probably going to do an NS9 live show amongst yourselves. By yourselves. So here's the information. And I guess with that said, we will be in Bradenton on March 19th to the 25th. At least two-thirds of us here. At least these two people. We will definitely be in Bradenton March 19th to the 25th. Maybe Tyler. So if you're in Bradenton, join us. During those times, hit us up. We'll definitely be down there. And Cody as well.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to that. I think we're going to like four games is kind of what we – four or five games while we're down there. So
it might be five. I think we're only skipping one, and one's an off day.
Yeah, I'm excited. Should be fun. Week in Bradenton in March. Can't really get much better than that.
Yeah, you guys are going
to have fun. Tyler?
You guys are going to have a lot of fun. I'll hold down the fort here. Make sure to get all the good information.
Yeah, so there's that. And then I guess we kind of have, like, in the works, we've been kind of alluding to, like, in June, the first week in June, we'll probably all be up there having, like, a live podcast and have more things going on maybe. So a lot of fun stuff. Like, I'm legit excited for the season, for like this stuff that we're talking about and the stuff that we're going to be talking about shortly. It was actually the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm really pumped for 2023.
Yeah, I would say for the first time since 2018, like, there's actually some excitement going into the season. You know, they finally put together an off season that gets you, you know, looking forward to opening day in like a positive way, as opposed to just a I'm really bored and I need to start watching baseball kind of way. So, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I know we'll talk about it today on the show, but the off season, you know, I don't know if we want to give it grades or whatnot, but it's been a good off season for the Pirates. I can't complain too much about what they've done.
It's been a better off season for North Shore Nine.
Has been a good offseason for
me and Jim. Have killed it this offseason.
You guys have done a fantastic job slacking.
That's true. If you follow us on TikTok, me and Tyler just crushing it on TikTok. Make sure you follow us at North Shore Knife. All of the content, all of the good content is made by me and Tyler. If you see a bad TikTok, it's DiNardo's.
Correct. DiNardo puts way too much thought into everything. And then you got to jump on a video game with him late at night so we can talk through his issues. Not me and Jim.
Yeah.
We just fire out the good stuff.
DiNardo puts like an hour into one little like 20-second video. It completely flops. Me and you just throw something together. Takes us 2 minutes. And, you know, there we go. I think what it is with me is, you know, we get the younger generation.
We do. Yeah. And we just haven't. We have a content creator mindset.
We do.
Like, You would think we're the ones that are just grinding out videos. No, we're just, we see something, we know it's going to be good, we fire it off.
I hate you guys so much. Like, you have no idea. This is the, how I started the show. Like, this is literally why. You have no idea the fire that's burning inside right now. Like, I just want to go through this screen and just punch both of you right in the face. But I digress. I won't do that. No, I'll give you guys your props. You guys have been handling the TikTok quite well.
You know what? We can't forget Cody. Cody does a good job as well.
Cody does a good job as well. Yep.
I just, you know, do everything else. Literally everything else around here.
Like what?
Everything. You guys are very like good at doing 7-second clips. Appreciate it, guys.
What do you do?
We work here. Here's the thing. We work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
DiNardo likes to take credit because he jumps on StreamYard and types in Pirates offseason talk. And
see what I'm saying? That video I made, that was elite.
I don't know.
The public didn't think so. Public
dummies on TikTok. TikTok has shadow banned me. That's the problem.
Yep, it's only you and not me, Cody, or Jim.
Correct. It's my IP.
Right.
All right. Should we move forward? Enough talking about this jibber jabber.
Sure.
So I guess we will talk about, again, this Pirates offseason. You know, much of our talk has come through guests, right, through their viewpoint, the information they're feeding us. I don't think we've really sat down and just talked our opinion and really stated everything. So let's kind of do that today. Since I think for the vast part, like, I mean, the Pirates are pretty much done, right? I mean, there might be maybe one other signing. I guess we can maybe assume, like, maybe a bullpen. Maybe a middle infielder depth piece, but nothing major, right? Nothing that's probably going to change anything that we say today. So I guess let's dive into it. And, Jim, you talked about grades. I say let's get fancy. Let's give a grade, too.
Okay. I do think there's maybe one more move to be made, and I think it has a lot to do with the outfield depth. You know, we talked about it with Mackey a little bit when he was on, but there are a lot of outfielders on this 40-man roster, and you got to think eventually, like, some of them get squeezed out. I don't know what you're going to get in return, but, like, how he was saying, like, maybe you trade one of those guys for a relief arm, right? And maybe it's not even an established relief arm. It's a flyer, you know, somebody with really good stuff. And, you know, you hope you can maybe rein in his command, something like that. But I could see them doing something like that, you know, sometime maybe during spring training or towards the end of spring training, like once roster cuts kind of get down to the nitty gritty, because they are going to have to make some moves with that 40 man. Like, they've got to add a catcher. So at least they've got to add a catcher. So there's going to be some people who are going to get cut off of that 40 man who are on there, and, you know, maybe a trade is the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But again, I don't think it's going to move the needle, albeit there's not many outfielders that's on this 40 man that they're trying to clear up. That's going to move the needle on the other team either. It's just depth for them. It's going to be depth for the Pirates. But I could definitely see that coming and not care too much when it happens.
I do think we're past the point, though, where, like, I think Brian Reynolds is a Pirate on opening day.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're there. Like, unless something catastrophic happens and there's an injury in spring training, like a big injury in spring training for, like, a big contender, then maybe you see somebody pulling the trigger. But I see Reynolds on this opening day roster at least for now.
I think I agree with you. We are well beyond, I think, that point. And the only way anything changes is probably if Reynolds' camp really pushes forward. And I don't know if we see that happening either. It's February. Like, we're close.
Yep. And I think part of it, too, like, rosters are pretty much set. Teams could have had a Miguel Andujar for, you know, $1.75 million. And they chose not to. So that shows me just right then and there, you know, rosters are set. They're not trading for Brian Reynolds because they could have had Miguel Andujar without giving up assets, and they chose not to. So, yeah, being facetious there, that could lead us into the Miguel Andujar news that we never really got to talk about either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually kind of an interesting move, and I think, you know, Ethan brought it up on Twitter originally. you know, when he was designated for assignment, I mean, that was probably a calculated move by the Pirates. I don't think, like, if somebody was going to take him and his salary, I think they would have been fine with it. If they weren't going to take him, they're probably fine with him, you know, being a depth option and being a minor league invite to spring training. I think they probably would have preferred somebody take him and then, you know, free up that cash that you could then spend on something else maybe. But right now they're paying Miguel Andujar $1.5 million or so, and he is likely starting off in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that depressed me pretty much. I was really looking forward to never having to see Miguel Andujar take another at-bat as a Pittsburgh Pirate. And then Ethan just had to crush every dream I ever had. But like Jim said, it probably is a smart move when you look at it in the grand scheme. You get to keep another depth piece most likely, and they ended up getting to do so. I just think he stinks at baseball and don't really care to watch him.
Like, to add my two cents to this, I would rather never see Miguel Andujar as a Pittsburgh Pirate because I don't believe in his talent. I don't believe in what he has. I don't think he's good, right? But, I mean, maybe the Pirates were hoping, right, someone would take it so they have that cash. But, like, let's look at the grand scheme of things. For that amount of money, and he is just a depth piece, like, I'm fine with having Miguel Andujar where he's at right now. My whole worry before last year when the Pirates, you know, added him with just 8 games left or 9 games, whatever it was, knowing that, you know, there's no time length that's going to change any opinion that he's going to be on the team this upcoming year. And we were just worried that that was their option. They're going full force, Miguel Andujar. He's going to be your opening day, whatever they decided it to be. And the fact that they pivoted and said, we are going to actually do better. I'm okay with where Miguel Andujar is right now because we're not relying on him. He's going to be terrible. But there's that slim, slim chance he's not. And really, like, when you're talking about Major League Baseball in 2023, for his salary, it's worth it. To stash him in the minors, it's worth it.
Who cares?
It's pennies. It's literally pennies.
It's literally not to the Pirates, though.
That's not the excuse. Like, I'm sorry, but
I look, I agree with you. I don't care if Bob Nutting burns $1.5 million. I care more that you're not spending that $1.5 million on maybe a halfway decent reliever. And we have to just burn it in Indy on Miguel Andujar. Yes, I know the optimal solution is just spend $3 million instead.
Right.
But we don't live in that world.
Too bad.
Stop financial it, Bob flexibility, Nutting. Baby.
Like, Miguel Andujar should not be stopping you from doing what you need to do this
offseason. We all know this.
I know.
But we don't live in this perfect planet.
Correct.
Jim's in deep.
Either way. I know. I was like waiting. I'm like, Jim can speak here, but he's in his Yoda suit right now.
Well, no, I was looking to see like what relief pitchers were available.
Any of them is
well. I noticed Chad Green, but then I saw that he just signed. So he also probably was a little bit he was probably a little bit out of the Pirates price range. But
how much
he
signed for?
Actually, no, $2.25 million. But it's a complex contract. Like, he gets more after
but
that.
In our little Pirates world, where the Pirates do things the way the Pirates do, I would probably rather take that Vince Velasquez money and the Miguel Andujar money, and maybe just go sign a halfway decent player instead. And I don't want to make it like I'm trashing this offseason. For the most
part. No, we're not.
I've been fine with it. This is just my little side note here.
I just want to stress the fact that, like, I get what you're saying, Tyler, but it's
you just
like
don't.
The Pirates just have to do better. They can't let that interfere on, we couldn't get this reliever because we had to keep Miguel Andujar. That just shouldn't be the process. But again, to the point that I'm trying to make as well, is he was out there for just the 1.5. How much was it again? Was it 1.5? I feel like it was 1.75, right?
Who cares?
Either way, not much.
1.75.
And every team passed on it. Like, if you're looking at Miguel Andujar to be this flyer, right? Like, the Pirates got him finally. He's gonna produce 20 home runs this year and have an 800 OPS and all this. Every team could have had him for this 1.5 or 1.75. It's undecided this time. Salary, and they chose not to. So, again, that tells you where all the smart people in baseball are siding on Miguel Andujar. So, but again, I'm fine with him being stashed, and then we'll see what happens. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt the Pirates having him there. If something happens and he figures it out, then he's sitting there in Indianapolis.
Right.
If he doesn't, then who cares?
1.525, okay. Official number.
There you go.
Sure. I mean, whatever. I can't bring myself to really get that mad about Miguel Andujar because, thankfully, he's not really on the team anymore. If he does have at-bats this year, something's probably gone really wrong.
Especially considering there's 47 outfielders on the 40-man.
And now a bunch of first basemen.
Yeah, I mean, something would really have to go wrong. Plus,
you know, I'm sorry. Every time you talk right now, I just keep going back to, like, when Mackie called you out. Like, listen, I just speak in hyperbole, like, all the time. And it's just proven time and time again. Like, you just keep doing it. You know, the Pirates have 47 outfielders on the 40, man. Yeah, Jim only speaks in hyperbole.
Now, I'm still going to stand by the their payroll is still so low that it's a slap in the face to all humanity, to the human race.
Right.
They could just be paying Brian Reynolds right now.
That 1.52 million could go to Brian Reynolds.
That too.
By the way, also want to give a big shout out to Tyler Sweeney with the artwork in the background. Look at that baseball and that bat.
Nope, don't like that.
No more just a big bright wall.
Yep.
You know what? I didn't even notice that.
It's because you haven't been on in like 10 years.
I do. I like it.
I know. I got another one upstairs as I'm just like trying to plug a light in on air.
I'm going to have to set my game up because I do have kind of like just a bare wall right there. And then, you know, you've got my open door right here too. I need to figure something out there. Maybe I need to get my... I've got a signed Bill Mazeroski jersey. I need to get that framed. I need to hang it up like right there.
I just need to get some better lighting in here.
Yeah, that too.
It's tough.
Get one of those, like what the influencers have, the little ring.
The ring light. The I ring think DiNardo lights. Has one.
I'll bet DiNardo has one. Yeah.
DiNardo definitely has one.
Of course
one.
I do.
Of course I do. You would think with a...
I do big things you would guys. Think.
You would think with a ring light that like that, you could make better TikToks.
Shut up. I swear to God, Jim.
No, I don't know what it is about this lighting. It just makes me look gray.
It's too, like, you've got like the, it's a really white light.
Correct.
It almost, it's too bright.
Okay. Let's just workshop this on the air. Are we going to talk about baseball or what?
That's what this show is all about. See what happens if we don't have a guest? Listen, well, everyone was forewarned. This is going to be the worst North Shore 9 show you've seen.
That is true.
But anyways, yeah, no, let's definitely get back into the offseason. Yeah. You know, we did talk about the Miguel Andujar. We didn't really officially talk about that news yet. So now that's out the way. Let's get to the full offseason. We were talking earlier about, you know, on this show, how excited we are for baseball. Not just for like what we're doing and stuff, but actually because the Pirates, there's some excitement. There's some reason to be excited about it. So I guess let's really dive down into that. I mean, this team, I feel, has definitely improved. It's improved with exciting players, if that makes sense. Like, there's definitely some personalities. And we've talked time and time again, and we even said it with Mackie. You know, like, your best players are Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes. Like, there's just no personality on this team either. There's definitely personality team. Like, I feel like it's going to be fun because it's going to be more pleasant to watch this year, a little better performance. But, like, I feel like there's going to be some fun moments again.
Yeah, it's just not going to be terrible baseball as well, which is really the, well, hopefully not terrible baseball. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I think as a fan, the big thing I'm kind of excited about is that there should be more meaningful games, and not as in I'm on the bandwagon thinking they're going to compete for anything. There's a lot of guys on this roster that are going to have a lot of meaningful at-bats this year. The O'Neill Cruz, the Endies. We're not hopefully going to be watching Josh Van Meter play until August.
Unless you're a Brewers fan, we definitely won't.
And I think on top of that, too, is just like the pitching staff has a lot more depth to it. I don't necessarily know how good the depth is yet, but it's like we won't have – I mean, how many starts did Bryce Wilson make last year? 20?
Too many.
Zach Thompson made 20 starts. You had openers because there weren't enough starting pitchers. So, you know, you had Dwayne Underwood Jr. starting games. You had – I mean, it was – the starting rotation was basically Mitch Keller, Rowanzy Contreras when they weren't manipulating his service time.
Right.
Quintana before they traded him away. And then, like, Ortiz had a couple games at the end of the year, and Oviedo was super inconsistent his entire time after being traded for. So it was just – it was really rocky. And I feel like this year you're going to have at least – like, you. I feel like there were a lot of times last year where, you know, we had position players pitching because it was 16-0, 18-0, 19-1, whatever it was. And I don't think we're going to see that as often this year. Like, I think this team's going to be competitive. I think the pitching staff is going to at least keep the team in ball games. I still don't think this is a winning team unless a lot of things go right, like above 500 team. But as far as I think this is a 75 win team. Like, as it sits right now, it's a 75 win team. And when you're talking about like the difference between last year and this year, that's a 13 game improvement, which is pretty substantial. It's a pretty good step in the right direction.
I think if they don't win 75 games, Derek Shelton is fired.
I could see that. Like, depending on how, like, this could be his make or break year, because this is really the first time he's been handed a roster that should be somewhat competitive. And if they're not competitive, then maybe it's time to move on. And like, there's maybe a manager is one of those last pieces they need to kind of take the next step.
I've kind of felt like he's probably a sitting duck waiting to get fired or his contract run out, you know, either way. But I also say, like, I get the sentiment. I hate to be like, this is the number. And if he doesn't reach 75, he's fired. Like, I mean, all things can be subjective. Once the season progresses and at the end of the year, we can reevaluate. I don't think like that's just the end all be all, you know, the 75. But I think what you're saying makes sense to a degree. I mean, this year he's gotten some talent. This year, the excuses of, well, he has nothing, so this is why he's got to go to his bullpen now. This is why this decision was made. You know, he actually has options. They're not the best options. That's fair. But they're competent options, which we've all been asking for. You know, he can rely more on the bullpen now. He can rely more on the starters, hopefully. He's got a lineup. It's got some that definitely has depth. To Jim's point, just a fact checked here. So Zach Thompson had 22 starts. Bryce Wilson had 20. Rowanzy had 18. Rowanzy had the 6th most starts on the year last year. So, and I'm with you. Like, I don't think we know exactly how good the depth is, but it's certainly more interesting. I'm excited and intrigued to find out, like, what Luis Ortiz can show this year. I had zero interest in Bryce Wilson or Zach Thompson last year. He could end up being just as bad. But I want to find out. I didn't care about those two.
Those two started 42 damn games last year?
Yeah.
We had to watch them start a game 42 times.
That's one out of four. That's 25% of the games were started by Zach Thompson or Bryce Wilson. Like, that's not going to happen this year.
Do you want to add in the 5 starts by Tyler Beedy?
And Tyler Beedy, too. One?
When they just decided to make Tyler Beedy a starter for no damn reason.
How many games? 47 starts by Zach Thompson, Bryce Wilson, and Tyler Beedy.
48 if you include Dwayne Underwood Jr.
There you go. 49 Jim, with Yohuri.
Jim, what was it that you said that the Pirates payroll
50
was?
With Jared Eichhoff.
A slap in the face to humanity?
Yeah.
Starting those three that many games is beyond the slap in the face to humanity.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Thompson and Bryce Wilson were fourth and fifth on the team in starts. So, like, they.
Well, third. Oh, I guess.
Because Quintana.
Third and tied with fourth with Quintana. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's bad.
42 starts between those two.
So think, like, now you throw them out, you add in a Rich Hill. Ronzi gets more starts. You might see Oviedo, which, again, I think ultimately we feel like he's probably more suited for the bullpen. But I'm intrigued. Like, I'm willing to see him start. Prove me wrong. He's definitely got better stuff than the guys we've mentioned. Obviously, Luis Ortiz comes and makes more starts. There's Burrows in the waiting. There's Priester in the waiting, potentially. You know, there's definitely some intriguing options that are there on the cusp.
Yeah, and like someone like Velazquez, I think Velazquez likely starts the season in the rotation, but I don't think he's there very long, like 2 months, maybe. I mean, that would be my hope.
Yeah, I tend to lean with Jim there. I feel like you sign him for that much, he's going to get – he's at least has the inside track for it. And I think it takes quite a bit to knock him off of it. I also don't know that Oviedo, they really believe in him as a starter at this moment. But I would hate to see him go down to Indianapolis for any reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'd much rather have Oviedo in the bullpen than the Indianapolis rotation. Right.
But do they do that? Do they send him to Indianapolis to stay on the starter track?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good question.
I don't know. Again, it's more of a hope for me than what I think the reality is. But I truly hope Velazquez is used more of the competition route. Like, we have a guy, he's penciled in, he's going to. But, hey, kids, come beat this guy out and take his spot. I really, really hope to see that, but I agree with all of you. That's probably not going to be the case. He's probably going to be a starter. They're going to manipulate some time, bring up, you know, Luis Ortiz. Maybe, we don't know with Oviedo. Also, another intriguing part, and not really going to talk too much about this, but with the prospect lists, there is some meaning to those. None of the pitchers are going to be part of the bonus pool, whatever you want to call it, right? They're not going to be tied to the service this time and whatever. So, like, they can be manipulated and not end up winning Rookie of the Year and then have a full year. So there's definitely, like, implications there. There's not, like, a reason to really start them on day one. Or, like, Endy, you could see a reason. They still won't. But you could see a reason they can start them from day one. None of the pitchers will.
Yeah. Going back to – I just want to talk to Oviedo again, too. I don't know how this team can afford to send somebody who had the level of production he had last year to AAA. Like, the guy had a 3.21 earned run average in 56 major league innings at the age of 24. It's not like he's, like, super young. Like, he's going to be entering his age 25 season. Like, that's a guy you need to have on your team. Like, in the bullpen or in the rotation – He can't start the season in Indy. I don't care what they want to do with him.
I just made an imaginary argument. Nobody has said anything about sending him to AAA, except for my little side note.
Right.
There.
That's my two cents.
But I actually can really see them doing so.
I can too. I think that would be a big mistake.
I think fully they will. Agree.
I mean, I think that is the plan.
That's a bad plan.
I mean, we saw it last year when as soon as they got him, they sent him straight to AAA, and they said it was to build the start or to build up his arm to be a starter. You could have just waited until the offseason to do that.
In their defense, they needed starts last year towards the end of the year. Like, after Quintana got traded, they were watching Contreras' innings. They they like just literally needed arms to pitch games. That's why we saw Luis Ortiz. We wouldn't have seen Luis Ortiz if it wasn't for they just needed a body. And so I think that's why they went that route with Oviedo. So I think this year may be a little bit different. But yeah, I don't think you can, like, you can't look at that production from last year and convince me that that's a guy who shouldn't be on the major league roster.
I look forward to complaining about it in like a month and a half.
Me too.
I'm with you guys. I just want them to start doing the right thing opposed to the financial thing. And again, it's not like Vince Velasquez really needs to hold anyone back. It's Vince Velasquez. Sorry.
Yeah, and I don't think any decision made with Oviedo is going to be financial related. I mean, he's got a year and a half of service time. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, someone who hasn't had a lot of playing time. I think if they send him down, it's just a truly bad baseball decision.
We'll see. But regardless, and we were talking about the rotation. And again, like, I think we believe in Mitch Keller. We saw what he did last year. There's certainly some things to believe in with him. Do we want to talk about, I mean, it's Mitch Keller season, right? The hype videos come out. We get this every single year. Mitch Keller throwing bullpen sessions. Stuff looked good. I'm not going to put too much into that. But regardless, I think we all like Mitch Keller. Ronzi, again, we like. Certainly has some things he can improve on, as Tyler can point out. Talk to him maybe a little more about here. But certainly more starts out of him as also. But I don't know, Tyler, what's your thoughts? Come on, pitching, Yinza. What do you think about Ronzi this year? God.
It's going to be interesting what they do with his innings, I think. That's the big part, just to start with him. He's not a guy that's built really to maintain a lot of innings. I look at him more as like the Francisco Liriano mold. When you get him, he should be lights out, and you're maybe going to get 140 to 160 innings a year, which I guess nowadays that's not bad. There's definitely a lot to work on command-wise. You'd like to see him be able to work both sides of the plate. The stuff obviously plays. And I've said it before, I'm maybe a little more excited about Ortiz than Contreras, but that's just more of the workload that I think Ortiz will be able to maintain rather than Contreras. But the stuff's absolutely electric. Him, Keller, Ortiz, as three guys that have kind of shown something in the majors, is a good start. So at least I'm like slightly optimistic about the rotation this year. Slightly.
When you throw in a guy too, we haven't even mentioned his name, but like JT Brubaker has basically proven that, you know, he's a major league starter. He's not going to blow anybody away with his stuff or his results, but I mean, he's kind of proven time and time again that he belongs in the major leagues. Yeah. You know?
So I guess what I'd ask, where do you guys actually, what number starter do you guys actually see Contreras in a rotation? Do you see him as a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I think if you're putting a ceiling on it, I think he's like a 2, like if everything works out great. Because like you said, I don't know if he can be like that workhorse ace who's going to give you like 200 innings and strike out 240 people, like a Garrett Cole type of guy. But I think he could be like a Tristan McKenzie, maybe, you know, somebody like that. I don't know. I mean, I have to look at his numbers, but like, I think that's maybe like a ceiling. But easily, like in a good year, I think Contreras could put up a 3 to 4 win season. Just like, I think that's maybe Keller's ceiling as well. I don't think I expect that out of Keller. I think I'm kind of, if Keller's a 2-win pitcher, then I'm cool with that. Like, that's kind of where I'm settled with him. I expect a little bit more out of Contreras, I think.
Yeah, the comparison of Keller and Contreras, I think, is Keller gets there by innings, and Contreras gets there by just kind of domination and limited innings. Like, Keller could put up a 4-win season just with a 3.5 ERA and pitching 200 innings. He seems like the type that could handle a 200-inning workload.
I agree with that.
He had 160 last year in that I mean, you would expect that he could take a step forward from that. I don't think I'm not expecting it, but he certainly capable of doing it. Like, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
And I put a lot of that too is not so much his fault. I mean, the Pirates are pretty much allergic to putting their starters in for the sixth inning, you know? So much of those were forced limitations on him. But I guess I'm with Tyler. Like, I feel like Contreras' stuff is better. It's more electric in that sense. But I like the McKenzie comp when you said it. But actually, when I looked here, you know, McKenzie threw 191 innings last year. I would never have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Never have guessed that.
Just guessing like, by actually, like the way he looks, I was
not
like,
a good comp. Yeah. But like, and thinking too, like kind of seeing Tristan McKenzie and watching him and such, I would have guessed he probably like threw 160 last year. No, 191.
Yeah. So never mind. Take that player. Back.
So, but I guess like I'm in the same sense. I'm with you because I feel like I'm more comfortable like labeling him a number three starter. Just because I don't think he's going to be like the workhorse. And especially you're talking playoffs. So we've talked about this too. Like if you're heading into the playoffs, you want two dogs at the top. And I'm not sure if I feel comfortable putting Contreras in that realm right now. So he could prove us wrong. He has it in him. Like Jim said, like the ceiling of number two, but I feel more comfortable saying he's planning him out as like a number three type of pitcher.
The other thing about Contreras right now is we know he's got the elbow issues that he's dealt with quite a bit. I feel more comfortable now if Contreras has to get stitches and than I did last year by far. If he has to go under the knife, I feel a lot better now about the pitching depth. Last year it felt like it was Contreras or bust. He had to be a dude. Him and Keller had to be guys. Or we're set back another 2, 3, 4 years. I feel like through development, we started to maybe get a little, and Keller being better helps, but we started to get a little bit more optimistic about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like Keller kind of showing that he's a capable major league starter. Brubaker kind of showing us again he's a capable major league starter. And then you bring in Rich Hill, who's, you know, he's going to be just fine. He's always just like, he's always good. I don't expect anything else. I don't expect anything different this year out of him. And then you just kind of throw in all of the guys who are pretty close to the majors, Priester, Burrows, Ortiz, Oviedo, and you don't need all those guys to hit. Like you don't need all of those guys to be good starting pitchers. If two of them work out, then you're in good shape. Like then you've got, you know, a homegrown pile of Keller, Contreras, two other guys, and you know you can always go out there and find a fifth piece to a rotation. That's not very difficult to do on any given season. So I think they're in a much better spot from a pitching depth standpoint than they were a year ago. I would agree with you there.
Yeah, fully. I think we talked about last year. Keller changed everything. Keller turning around and showing he's a competent pitcher changes so much. And then obviously now with like the emergence of Luis Ortiz coming out of nowhere, essentially, that's a big step too. So I guess I'm with you, Tyler. Like it's not going to hurt the organization as much. You know, it's a pill you can swallow a little easier, but I certainly don't still want to see Contreras go down. That's still not going to be good, especially if like next year is that year where you should see like the chips starting to go into the table, right? You're starting to go all in. Yeah, less than ideal, but it's not going to be an organization killer, I guess, in that sense. So, yeah, I guess we're feeling a lot more comfortable with the rotation. I guess let's get to the bullpen. We'll save the bats for last because I feel like it's the most exciting part. So the bullpen, it was a disaster last year. And I know you all jokingly, in a way, it shows it improved, but you had to do it by trading position players. But regardless, like they did improve upon the bullpen by trading away the position players and the Quintana. So what are your thoughts this year on the bullpen itself?
I think it has more depth. Right. So again, like you can expect quite a bit of attrition in a major league bullpen over the course of a season. Like you're going to get injuries. And I think the fact that they've got, you know, someone like Oviedo, right, who can be in the bullpen, he can start, you know, maybe that's where his value's at. You know, Holderman, Johan Ramirez, I don't think he's any good, but, you know, he's there. Colin Selby, you know, some other depth. He survived the Rule 5 draft. Actually, Selby, did they add him? They did. Yeah. They added him, didn't they? Yeah. He's on the 40-man.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, you're looking at the other guys. Bednar, Stevenson, Crow, De Los Santos, Chase DeYoung, Garcia, Underwood Jr., Jose Hernandez, the Rule 5 pick. So I think it's got some depth in it. I like the lefties. I think Garcia is a good – he's probably the best lefty we've had in that bullpen in a while. I'm interested to see what Jose Hernandez can do as that Rule 5 pick. He kind of intrigues me a little bit. But I like Yerry De Los Santos. Like, from what we saw of him, he had, you know, one or two blow-up games. But other than that, he looked really good in his time in the majors. I don't think Chase DeYoung is necessarily good, but, you know, he saw those results last year. So, like, who really knows? He could just be one of those guys where he gets results and it just looks bad doing it. I don't think Dwayne Underwood Jr. is that good, but he's, like, I don't think he sucks. And, like, same thing with Will Crow. Like, I think if we saw Will Crow look really dominant in certain times of the year last year, and I think he just got worn down. So I'm curious to see how the guys look with more depth. Someone brought up in the chat earlier, you know, it would be nice if Shelton didn't pitch all these guys multiple innings every time they pitched, because it, like, you saw it. You saw them all wear down as the season went along, and that had to do with the starting pitchers at the beginning of the year just not being capable of going deep into games. So if those starting pitchers can consistently get past five, if they can pitch at least five, maybe six and sometimes seven, like if they can get into that those sixth and seventh innings, I think that alone will help out this bullpen quite a bit, because they were just the your best guys last year just got overworked.
Yeah, I'm still not thrilled with it. It's obviously better than last year, but I mean, that's not an accomplishment. Last year was a joke. Bednar hopefully being healthy helps a lot. I'd like to see Will Crow used more in like a Chris Davinsky role. I mentioned that before, back when he was throwing multiple innings for the Astros, but they were giving him actual off days and not making him throw two and then come back 2 days later, throw one, then another day later, throw two more. Actually set him up on his like a reliever starter schedule. I like Robbie Stevenson a little bit. I like De Los Santos. There's guys there to like. It's just there's not really much dominance out of them. Like that 7-8. There's Bednar, and then there's not a 7-8 inning guy that's going to come in and strike out three. It's a lot of guys that can get the job done, but it's not going to overwhelm you whenever you see it. Which, once again, it's an upgrade over last year, but it's not something I'm really thrilled about.
That's an excellent point.
Best way of putting it. I don't think this bullpen excites you, but it's, again, I think that's the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway this year is competency. Like, this bullpen is at least competent. There's not, you don't have to, like, refer to anyone as the tank commander anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. But that's where this team was. Fair? Like, there's players bad that they're referred to as the tank commander. You don't have that anymore. Like, there's actual options. Now, how good those options will be, we'll find out. I find that most guys have at least somewhat intrigue in them, you know, where, like, previous years, it was just like, that person's bad. I know I'm probably more favorable on Dwayne Underwood Jr. than you guys, but I take it for what he is. He's not exciting, but it'll give you those needed innings. And now this team has hopefully more competent players that you don't need Dwayne Underwood Jr. to give you like those stressful innings. You know, he'll just give you the needed innings to get through the season. And like you're talking about with Will Crow, like I feel like there's some actual intrigue with him. Maybe he can be a better pitcher because he's not needed to throw out 17 innings a week in relief. You know, he can be used and managed better.
And you said
you said I'm being...
That wasn't. That was the real. That's a stat. That's look at him on FanGraphs. He averaged 17 innings a week. I bet you any money. But you know, again, like with De Los Santos, I find some intrigue. Even with Stevenson, like I find some intrigue with him. Now we'll find out. And if he's not good, he's not good, and that's fine. But that's what this team has. Like if he's not good, there's still other options out there. It's not as if he's not good. Well, it doesn't matter. He needs to be in that seventh and eighth inning role. So that's where I'm at as well. It's not exciting, but there's certainly options. And again, this goes back to Shelton. It gives Shelton actual options to use.
I think like a good exercise as opposed to last year with a lot of these guys is like, if any of these pitchers on the 40-man roster right now, if the Pirates just DFA'd them tomorrow, they'd probably all get picked up by another team. Like they're all, everyone on this roster from the pitching staff standpoint is like deserving of a major league roster spot. So I think that's a step up from where it was last year. There were guys on that team last year who had no business being on a major league roster. Right. But so we have at least reached the point where like if the Pirates DFA any of these guys, another team's going to want them. Like we're at that point. And I think Tyler brings up a good point. Like the bullpen's better than it was, step forward. But if you really want a good bullpen, you need dominance. And they really just don't have that. You know, I wouldn't even label David Bednar as a dominant reliever. He's good, but that's it. And he's the best one. And he's the best one.
I think he very well could be. But I think it's also fair to not label him there yet just because of the season he had. My point
of view. Yeah. Maybe 2 years ago, I think he was dominant. Last year, not so much, but he was also used a lot differently last year.
I don't know, man. Early on, I think, he was early on to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't until that Dodgers game where things just seemed to.
Shit hit the fan.
Turn, but you know when you're a closer and used for three innings because that's the only way to win a baseball game.
Because we really have to win this game in Los Angeles when nobody's watching at 1 a.m.
except for Jim and I.
Yeah, thank you guys for doing that post game show, by the way. But
that's no, I was out of town that day. I remember.
Denardo did it solo.
Were you?
I was watching from a sofa in an Airbnb in St. Louis, Missouri. I remember.
Maybe we didn't do a first game then. I definitely watched it.
But like you go back to the old dominant Pirates bullpens, 7, 8, 9, you could almost shut the TV off and just check the score in the morning, make sure they won. You still can't do that at all. It is nice to see some guys. Unlike last year, there's some velocity in the bullpen. I don't feel like we've seen guys throw 97, 98 in a little while, other than Bednar, really. And he doesn't even really throw that. So there's a little bit of velo there, a little bit of power. I'd like to see a little more. And really, a lot of that comes from your development of pitchers in general. Those failed starters haven't turned into relievers for the Pirates in a long time. They don't have Tony Watson turn it into a reliever.
It's a good point. The failed starters have just been failed pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also my fear with Sherrington going to the college pitcher route last year. There's not many guys that are really overpowering in that sense. Most of them, I felt like he drafted for pitchability.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like there's some guys, though, recently that they've drafted as starters where, like, there's a pretty good fallback option for them. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Burrows as an example. Like, if Burrows fails as a starter, he's got two really good pitches, right?
Yeah, sure.
And, like,
that's a Neil Huntington draft pick.
Yeah, like, he should be a reliever at a minimum. Kyle Nicklaus is another one in the Stallings trade where probably going to be a failed starter. But, again, two good pitch, at least one really good pitch and some velocity. So, you know, you look at like Burrows, Nicklaus, Majinski kind of fits that same role too, along with like Jerry Jones. Yeah. So like they've got some guys, I think, where, you know, if everything goes right, they're starters, but they have a pretty good reliever makeup too, if they need to go that route.
Oviedo.
Oviedo falls in that category too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, like, all in all, we feel the bullpen is more competent. And again, that's mainly my thing. It's more competent. Exciting isn't the word, but I think it's gonna be more pleasant. I just feel like for most years it felt like when, you know, if there was a win, the bullpen come in. Like Tyler said, you can go to bed. It was quite the opposite. You know, when the bullpen came in, if it wasn't Crow or Bednar coming in, well, the game's over. It's done. And this year, I think, again, it'll be interesting to find out. And maybe some guys can't emerge. You know, that's what we talk about, too. Like, that's what makes a bullpen. We talk about the Orioles as well. Like, the Orioles was a collection of just misfits, right? DFA'd guys and waiver claims or whatever. And look at the Orioles bullpen last year. It was pretty good. I'm not saying that's, like, the path the Pirates are going to take here and do, but there's certainly options. And, like, some guys could potentially stand out. Again, like, De Los Santos, I'm kind of excited to see, like, what he'll do in a full, healthy season. Maybe he becomes a dude, right? And that'll really certainly help out and such. So the bullpen, certainly an upgrade over last year. So let's get down to the bats. There's a lot of moves, I feel like, on this side. That's, if I think of the majority of, like, the veteran leaders, right, the majority of the signings came into. How do we feel about this lineup, guys?
It has a lot more length to it than we've seen in Pirates lineups in the past. I think that's kind of where I'm getting excited about the lineup a little bit. You know, outside of Austin Hedges, everyone else in this lineup is probably an average hitter or better. You know, whereas last year we would throw out lineups where 5 through 9 were hitting 179 and slugging 280, right? And it was like, all right, if we're gonna get no hit, right, this is gonna be a good day for it. Those types of lineups,
that's also a real stat.
Yeah, like I don't think those types of lineups are gonna, like, we're not gonna see those a lot this year. We should see more competitive lineups with some length to it. And then once Andy Rodriguez comes up, then you should be able to put together a solid 1 through 9 if you're putting your best 9 guys out there. I think a lot of it rides on, like, I'm interested to see what Castro does with a full season. Looked good towards the end of last year. I'm not sold on him. Like, I don't think he's, like, I don't think you can, like, mark his name in pen as a second baseman of the future. But I think he has a good opportunity to take a stranglehold on that second base position if he wants it. Like, he's going to be given that shot. And if he's not, there's options behind him. So that's the one good thing there is, like, your biggest question mark in the lineup is probably Castro. Sawinski's a question mark too. But, like, if Castro doesn't work out, you've got Bay, you've got Gonzalez, you've got Peguero, you've got people right behind him who are willing and eager to take that spot.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's the big part, is the depth behind Castro. And like you said, he is the biggest question mark other than Sawinski. I'm not a full believer in him yet. I like him enough. I think he definitely gets the first opportunity at it. The other part about the lineup, they really seem to cut down on the strikeouts this year. With all the acquisitions they brought in, I don't think we're going to see as many strikeouts. We should see more competitive at-bats. Hopefully that leads to maybe some better numbers with runner in scoring position. That's my big hope here, maybe going the Guardian route where they didn't strike out much. They didn't hit many homers, but they just put the ball in play. Everybody just did a job.
Yep. Yep. You know, we did discuss this. I feel like last week, for the most part, with Neil, but a lot of on base guys. Like, I feel like that was the number one target this year for the offense. Everyone they added, except for Austin Hedges, of course, got on base. So there's certainly that. But let's also talk to, you know, we discussed G-Man Choi, and of course, Carlos Santana was a big part of it. Andrew McCutchen to a little lesser degree, but a lot of these guys are guys that you feel with the shift being banned, an actual improvement. And we discussed this too. Like, I know there's a lot of people like really, really stressing this part. Mind you guys, the shift's banned for everybody as well. So everyone's going to improve. So you can't just look and say, well, this person got shifted on his batting average or whatever, so he's going to be better. Well, everyone's going to average out. But I feel like with Carlos Santana, who's like the worst one, right? And like you can definitely see an improvement on him. And Jim, you're the one who brought up the where'd that come from? Was that Fangraphs as well? Hits and such?
It was a Baseball Savant article.
Got you. And they alluded to like,
yeah,
Kutch probably gets like, Kutch.
Yeah, both of them.
My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, Kutch was going to get like what, 8 more hits and Santana was 12. Was that the numbers?
Something like that. Yeah.
And that's pretty substantial. Like those guys certainly probably would see an improvement amongst the shift. So like, that's the thing too. When you look at their last year numbers, Santana isn't like super impressive. Kutch isn't super impressive, but you could certainly see them improve this year. And then like just going by zips, and I know it's projections, right? And we don't understand what those mean, how they work, but just by the zips projections, Santana is projected at a 112 weighted runs created plus. Kutch is projected at a 109 weighted runs created plus. Like Jim said, like every person in this lineup should be able to hit about being an average hitter, right? At least a 100 weighted runs created plus outside of Hedges and probably Cabrian. Now, if he can, that'll be a huge thing as well. So yeah, like I think that's what I'm excited about with this lineup. It's not a black hole after the fourth or possibly fifth hitter. Like there is some real length, and it could get better with Endy coming up at the end of the year. Like you mentioned with Castro, same way. Like Castro to me is almost like that Luis Ortiz. Like he could be a big difference with his organization on the offensive side. Like he wasn't supposed to be anything. If he can become a second baseman, that gives you a lot of options with Peguero and Gonzalez. I mean, you're looking at could be potential trade chips to give you something else that you need down the line or whatever. So yeah, like I like the talent in Castro. We'll see if he can give you the production. But yeah, like when it comes to this lineup, I'm actually like, this is what really excites me about this Pirates team. And understand the use of my word excitement.
Yeah, I mean, Castro last year, he had 71 games. He had 11 home runs, right? So, I mean, the power seems to be legit. We saw what he did his first time in the majors. I think his first five hits were, like, home runs. So, like,
yeah,
the power is there. It's just a matter of can he put together a good approach? Can he play second base? Can he be more consistent? And if you're getting that, if you're getting 20-plus homer productivity out of your second baseman and he's playing good defense, then it's hard to ask for too much more than that.
Mind you, you might also be getting 30 home run production on your shortstop.
That's going to be the most exciting thing I think about this season is just to like see like how O'Neill Cruz finished last year, right? Like that last like 5 weeks or so, he was just it's like a switch just, you know, it just flipped in his head.
There we go. And, use your words.
Yeah, it just flipped in his head, and he just became a really good major league hitter that pitchers were scared of, and teams did not want to see him up there at the plate. And he made people pay, like when they attacked him. I mean, I still go back to like his big at bats against Jacob DeGrom, like that game where DeGrom was just mowing people down. It was a 1-0 game, and then one swing of the bat, O'Neill Cruz takes the lead. DeGrom gets knocked out. He's in line for the loss. Just and that's not like against some bum. Like he did it against Jacob DeGrom. He had big hits. He had Sandy Alcantara, Corbin Burns. Like he was taking the games, he was playing well against the game's best pitchers. So can he build upon that and become like the superstar that they really need him to be?
Not to mention, I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on what Neil Walker said last week about Cabrian Hayes, and I know you just brought it up, Cabrian's numbers from last year and whether he can be a league average hitter. I am very excited to see what Cabrian Hayes can do this year with Andrew McCutchen on this team as well. Walker talked about how much Kutch can help him, and we discussed the inside-out approach that Kutch did have early in his career. I'm just really excited to see an actual offseason of those two together and see if anything could change here with Cabrian Hayes. Not to mention, he's going to be healthy. And he hasn't been healthy in years.
Hopefully. Yeah, I mean, if he plays 150 games last year, he's a 3.5-win player. And that was being a terrible hitter.
Awful.
So, like, if the dude can just hit.
League average.
Yeah. If the dude can hit league average, he's a 5-win player.
I'm with you, though, Tyler. I guess, I mean, just hearing Neil talk about that, it did really excite me. It gave me going. And it's like, now that's something I want to watch this season about with Cabrian. Maybe there is something more there. I mean, we know, like, the talent's there as well. And we talk about exit velocities and all this, too, right? But just it's just not happening. And
he's just like a tweak away.
Maybe that's what gets it going for him.
And you guys can pick up on it down at spring training.
We will.
See if he's pulling the baseball.
Tell us how it looks on TV.
I will.
To be honest, you probably would have to. I anticipate probably being a little inebriated, so I might not pick up on it too well.
Shocker. Sounds
hey, it's
like
vacation too.
Good Lord. Like, Jim comes to Jacksonville, you get inebriated every night. Jim stuck there picking up tabs for you.
Yeah, what a friend. Imagine coming all the way down here to see me. But by the way, Jim was down here. I saw Jim for 3 nights. Now, I haven't seen you down here, Tyler. Just saying.
Pause.
But anyways, I am excited for Cabrian in that aspect. And you know what? I feel like we have to keep bringing this guy up too, because we do in the same sense. We keep talking about Smith and Jigba for the fact of, like, he's just forgotten. And it was a guy that we, all three of us, were kind of excited to see last year. I think we like his talent. He didn't really get to showcase it because of the injuries. So I'm not labeling him as, like, I believe he's going to be a star player, but I have intrigue with him. And it's not as if we talk about the depth of the outfield. It's not like there's a lot of good depth that there's really people keeping him down. I don't know. I'm intrigued to see what maybe he could do this year.
There's a lot to like about the approach, right? Like, that, I think that's probably the thing that I'm most excited to see Kanan Smith and Jigba over, like, a long period of time, is just, like, you know, how can he help this lineup out? How can he help the team? Because he clearly possesses a skill. And, I mean, he's shown it at every single level. A-ball, 14% walk rate. Double-A, 17% walk rate. Triple-A, 15% walk rate. On-base percentages above or near 400 at every step of the minors. The guy gets on base. He has a really good, clear sense of the strike zone. That's something where Tyler brought up earlier. That's just something this team has missed, is just people who get on base, right? We swing and miss a lot. Smith and Jigma is not a guy who's I think is going to do that. I think he's going to be pretty selective up there, and he has the potential to be pretty good. Like, his profile throughout the minors, it's someone who, like, looking at it, it should translate to the majors, but he's got to be given that opportunity. He's got to be healthy. I'm excited to see him get his chance at a roster spot in spring training, because he's absolutely going to get a chance to make this team. And if he does, he could be helpful. Maybe he's the guy who takes, like, the reins on an outfield spot. I don't know, but the walk rate is certainly intriguing.
Yeah, I've liked him for a long time. I don't know that he takes Connor Joe's spot, and Connor Joe's a guy that I don't hate. I don't love him, but I don't mind him as a fourth outfielder type. He's another guy that's should be a competent major leaguer. Smith and Jigba, I think the raw power's there. The game power hasn't shown up, but he's built like a guy that should have power. Yeah, like you said, the approach is terrific. We even saw it in his few games. He's very selective. Swing and miss really isn't in his game. I don't really know that much about how he plays defensively, but he's definitely a kind of in that like mold of that third outfielder that maybe like a Jordan Luplo. I'm just going previous Pirates that seem to walk a lot that you just assume they're going to be productive major leaguers. And this is a team that really does need those.
I'm not going to say this is a good comp in the sense of like perfect player, but I guess a good comp of Jordan Luplo's made a major league career out of himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has, right? Like, there was not a whole lot of expectations out of him.
6 years, yeah.
Right. So, like, I guess a good comp in that sense of if Smith and Jigba can kind of like carve out a Luplo career, it's not bad.
That's a good comp right there, too. Yeah, I mean, like, that's like best case scenario, I think.
Now, imagine trading Jordan Luplo for Eric Gonzalez.
Let's not. But, but yeah, I guess that's where we're at. Like, you know, again, understand our expectations, why we're excited for him. It's not as I think he's going to be a starting outfield or such, but I do like his talent. I want to see it because there's not many options out there that I am excited for. Certainly not of Ryan Vallade. So let it be Kanan Smith and Jigba. And if he can carve himself out to be some platoon or fourth outfielder, or I'm cool with that. But yeah, Tyler, that's the thing too. Like, first off, he comes with a family that's very athletic. I feel like there's something in the genes there. He's 6 foot 230. I feel like there should be more power there. Like, I keep comparing to Maurice Jones-Drew. Like, that's just what he looks like. Again, he looks like Maurice Jones-Drew.
He is a lot taller than him.
He is a lot taller, but
he's a bowling ball.
He's built. He's a bowling ball. So, like, I feel like the power should be there. If that translates, I think that's what really could set him apart. But just getting on base and, like, all the other stuff, I am excited to see what he can do this year. He is a guy that intrigues me.
He's probably the outfielder I'm most excited about right now.
Outside of Andrew McCutchen and Brian Reynolds.
Obviously, prospect-wise.
Okay.
I am – you know what? I am more confident that Kanan Smith and Jigba will be a productive major leaguer over Jack Sawinski. I think Smith and Jigba has a better career.
That's interesting.
Okay. I would put him probably about even. Sawinski has shown that, you know, he possesses major league power at home, at least.
Not according to Nardo.
But no, I think you can probably throw them both in the same boat when it comes to, like, their futures.
They do things differently. I'll say that. The other thing is, and we'll see how more tests out, but Sawinski looked really good on defense, though, also.
That's fair.
So, but regardless, I don't hear you say that and say you're out of your mind. I think we've all thought Sawinski is more suited to be a fourth outfielder. I don't think last year really changed too much of that, but his season was just so ridiculous. I got to throw it all out again and see what he does this year. But I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. Sam says, what about a guy like Matt Gorski, fellas?
I just don't love the swing and miss in the game.
I don't like it.
I think he's at best like a fourth outfielder.
I'm at absolute best as well. I have no faith in Matt Gorski.
I really think that people are just like, there's too much talk about Matt Gorski and not enough about Jared Triola. That's the guy that people should be talking about. He can actually play defense and has not struck out at an astronomical rate.
Against guys 13 years younger than him.
Yeah. I like Gorski probably more. Actually,
no, you don't.
Triolo's versatility is good in the defense, but like I don't think either are going to amount to much if I had to bet.
Yeah, but we're talking about like who's better. And I just gave you a sleeper, so.
Well, the Pirates clearly thought Triola was better because they added him to the 40-man and not Gorski.
And for once, they were right. Yeah. They agree with me.
I agree.
The issue with Gorski is, and, you know, it took him, what, 3 years to finally start hitting single right.
Gorski,
ball.
Like, yeah, Gorski's got that against, like Mason Martin hype right now.
Yeah.
Where we all know it's not good. He's not good. Let's just move on.
I don't know. I don't even compare it to the Mason Martin hype. I feel it's even less than Mason Martin.
Yeah, but
if it, I almost have more faith in Mason Martin if he, Mason Martin didn't have his season he had last year.
God, he sucked last year, didn't he?
Yes, because he's also not good.
Yeah, the thing with, like I said, going back to Gorski, if you're striking out 29%, 30% of the time in AA as a 24-year-old, you're probably not going to be a successful major leaguer. Just doesn't – I mean, it just – that's math.
Math ain't mathin'.
Yeah, so I guess there's your answer. None of us really believe in Gorski's talents. So there's that.
Yeah, I got no desire. I'm good.
So do we want to give out – do we want to give out grades? Are we done talking about the offensive part?
Sure.
Thank you for keeping the show on the track there, DiNardo.
I'm trying. Again, you know, my mind doesn't work in seven-second spurts. I can control a whole hour and a half show.
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
You're welcome.
I want to give my grade last.
Okay.
Okay.
Tyler, you want to go first or me?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Crack the neck a little bit. Let me think. I think, oh man, I'm between two grades. I think I got to give it, I'll give it a B minus only because Andrew McCutch came back. Before that, I would have gave it a C plus. It's a little above average. Andrew McCutchen coming back, just my own personal feelings alone, just bumps it up a little bit of a letter grade. It's not phenomenal. Like, it's been fine. It's what we should expect.
So I think you and I are on the same wave path here, Tyler. I'm giving it the B minus as well. I don't know if Andrew McCutchen changed it. Now, like the thing about Kutch, I don't want to give this grade on a personal feeling. Like the Kutch move means so much more than the Kutch player being added, right? If that makes sense. Kutch itself being added like makes this offseason what it is. And it's like it's such a good story. But like for the team, and like if I'm gonna grade Ben Cherington and how, as the kids say, how well he cooked, right? Well, first off, Kutch had to come to Ben Cherington, said sign me. But regardless of that, I give it a B minus because I'm with you. Like there were certainly moves, and even with Kutch in there, every move made the team better. They finally got the veterans you're asking for. It's a competent team. But to me, I felt like this was the minimum they had to do. You know, like they didn't really go out there and sign anyone who, again, Kutch is exciting because it's Andrew McCutchen. He's not exciting because this is the stud they brought in on a four-year contract, right? They're putting players, you know, alongside Brian Reynolds, and they're going to go out there and win for multiple years. No, by the way, Brian Reynolds asked for a trade. So that's also part of this offseason because they said, we're not paying you. So again, like it's still a B minus to me because they did the bare minimum. There's the positive of Kutch, but there's also the negative of Reynolds. And Reynolds might be traded. I don't know. We'll find out. But regardless, it doesn't count for the offseason. I give it a B minus because to me, it was the bare minimum that was needed, but at least they did it this time.
And my name's Jim Rosati. I'm giving it an A plus because they signed Andrew McCutchen. They should have done this years ago.
You think he's stopping an A plus?
Oh, yeah.
Remember A Christmas Story? With a teacher, right? He gives his thesis. It's his plus. Jim's writing on the wall, just everywhere. Plus, 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 plus. Lifetime contract, Andrew McCutchen.
So Tyler hit the nail on the head. I think pre-Kutch, C plus. You know, like they did what they needed to do. But yeah, after an Andrew McCutchen, A plus, 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 all the pluses. Infinite amount of pluses. I don't care what else they did. They could have done nothing. They could have traded the entire team for all I care. The fact that they Andrew McCutchen is a Pirate again. A plus plus plus. Cannot wait for opening day to see Pirate in a Pirates uniform. To see McCutchen in a Pirates uniform. Over the PA announcer batting now number 22. Andrew McCutchen. Crowd goes wild. I'm gonna cry. You guys. I'm going to cry on opening day.
What a dumb fanboy.
I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm fanboying out right now. A+, Andrew McCutcheon's back. I don't care about the rest.
So what if they try trade Brian Reynolds tomorrow?
A+.
and they get back a reliever.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of hope they trade him tomorrow just so we can share that.
That's good content. See, you know what? That's what you're thinking the way a good content creator would.
That's true.
Think. No, yeah, who cares about the team? My TikToks, though.
You know what I already thought about? Every single time you guys have said Tyler is right, Tyler hit the nail on the head, I'm just going to throw them all into one video and post it.
Well, that will take 7 seconds. So, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, no, there's plenty. I'm very smart. My mom says it all the time.
Oh, man. So, again, though, it's B-minuses for all of us, reasonable people, A+ for Jim. But even, like, again, with that said, the Andrew McCutcheon just means so much, and, like, it's got me so excited for this season. Andrew McCutcheon's a Pittsburgh Pirate. That means a lot. That means a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Now don't screw it up. The
top five worst days of my life is when they traded Andrew McCutcheon. It's up there with the worst days of my life.
I mean, they got Brian Reynolds back.
They haven't, like, fixed it, right? Because it still happened. So I won't forgive them for what they've done to me. But
I'll never forgive you.
This helps. This helps a little bit.
Cool, I mean, cool.
They get Brian Reynolds back.
You think they're gonna trade Reynolds and then get Reynolds back in the future too?
You know what's gonna be hilarious when they trade him at the deadline this year? McCutcheon. And Jim just has another meltdown.
So again,
great content.
I try not thinking for the content, but boy, oh boy, Tyler, I kind of want to get you a cut and trade at the deadline for all the content I'm going to put out there for Jim as he left the show.
No, I really will lose my mind if they trade him at deadline.
It's not going to happen.
Team Jim all the way.
For all the cynical people, for all the people that will say this for whatever, like it's not going to happen. It won't. Regardless, this is a part of me that wants it to. Again, you know me. I've said this before on the air too. Like, I want to see the world burn.
Yeah.
I will bite. What the hell is that saying? Bite my tongue to spite my foot. Whatever it is. Like, I like that.
You're a terrible person.
I am a terrible person. No, I will agree to that. I understand that. I know who I am. Correct. And with that said, I don't want to see Kutch traded. But it's not the worst thing in the world for the other things that will happen that I will enjoy. So if it did happen, I also would have fun in it. Because I know how
miserable if they trade Andrew McCutcheon again, I'm done.
That's done. Again, I find the beauty in everything. And that's a beautiful thing. Jim being done, very beautiful.
Done. I'm done.
Can't wait. That's all it took. I need to get in Ben Charrington's DMs right now. Hold on. What will it take to trade Andrew McCutcheon? But anyways, yeah, I don't think it's happening. He'll be here for the full year and potentially more from what it sounds like.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or he's going to be hitting 280, 350, 450, and the Pirates are going to be 30 games below 500 and they can get a top pitching prospect for him. I mean, what would you prefer, Jim? Build for the future or save your childhood idol?
I guess before we wrap up, some questions here. Sam does say, is there an actual real chance we see Endy in June, July? I mean, I think so, absolutely. He'll be up the latest, the Super 2 deadline.
June 8th.
I think it's stupid that he's not up beforehand. He is in line that he can be awarded a full season's worth of service time if he is the top three votes for rookie of the year or top two. three, right?
I thought it was two.
Yeah, it's two. So if he's in the top two rookie of the year voting, he'll get a full year of service time anyways. He has that type of potential in him, just like O'Neal Cruz had that potential in him as well. You all know my viewpoint. Let the kids put him out there. Let the kids prove you right. The worst comes to worst. He's not doing it. You send him down, bring him up later. But I think he's absolutely here. Henry Davis is the one that I think we can question if he'll be here by June, July.
Agreed.
I think Super Dude deadline's the day he's up.
I mean, unless he just completely falls off a cliff or gets injured.
Right.
So yeah. If very bad things happen.
O'Neal Cruz did not hit in AAA. He was still up as soon as the Super Dude.
Right. That's a good call.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Endy's still a catcher, and he's going to probably be better than Austin Hedges and Heinemann. So.
Correct.
Oh God, we got that too.
Yep.
Cool.
There it is. Kenny says, or in the case of Michael Scott, cut your nose to spider face. Well, guys, hour 25.
Yeah, we did it.
We had a lot of Pirates offseason talk. Anything else you guys want to add in here before we go?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
We just gave you probably the worst shit of the offseason. But that's
no, that was pretty. We did awesome. Don't sell yourself short.
I mean,
this was great.
We, the 2N people, did awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Let the talent cook.
Whatever, guys. I hate you.
Let's just read through these comments right now. Let's see here.
So let's say this before we go. If you're still watching, appreciate you guys. If you haven't, make sure you subscribe to our channel.
Let Tyler cook. Tyler spitting facts.
Yeah, do all the good stuff. If you guys like this, go ahead and comment, like, subscribe to our channel, subscribe to the podcast. We got some big things coming up we talked about. Certainly some more guests. We might have some more others cooking.
If enough of you subscribe to this channel, Tyler can quit his job.
Yeah. Let me quit my job.
I want Tyler to quit his job. So please
too.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
For 10 cents a day and a subscription.
I'm like that.
Please
lost...
help Tyler needs... quit his job.
We need some Sarah McLachlan music in the background.
I just need to put my dog on camera and be like, for like 10 cents a day, I can stay home with him. I mean, like, where are you
Andy
at? Said
he's going to unsub.
There
now.
He is.
Yeah.
Where's
Fred?
Look at that little guy.
Look at Fred.
For 10 cents a day, I could stay
there
home
we
with
go.
Him.
Come you got to subscribe for Fred.
In the arms of. Killed it.
But yeah, guys, we really appreciate it. We're having a blast. Big season coming up. So we'll see you guys next week.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.